to invite your attention to the 24th chapter of Luke. That's where our message for the morning is coming from, the 24th chapter of Luke's account. As together we will learn from a post-resurrection experience on a road to Emmaus. Luke, the 24th chapter. And I'll begin reading from the 13th verse of the 24th chapter. The Bible declares, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and beside all these things, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said to them that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And Jesus said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning him." This is the experience on the road to Emmaus, where Christ encounters his disciples at a point and place in their lives where they were still experiencing despair, despondent by what they had seen, and had difficulty believing in what they had heard. Pray with me. Father, how we thank you so much for the blessed privilege that is ours to come before you in worship. Now we ask that you'd allow the seed of your word to be planted in the fertile soils of our hearts, that it might take root, might produce fruit for your glory, that we might strive to love you more and love each other better, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Christ had risen from the dead. Christ had defeated death, hell, and the grave. But for the disciples in our text, the last scene they had of the Lord and Savior was seeing him die. See, these two unnamed disciples in our text, early on in the text, that is, we know that Cleopas is one of the two. They were there. They saw. They knew all that Christ had endured, how his body was flogged, how he was crucified on a rugged cross. They saw his blood being shed. They may have seen the spear being pierced in his side. They saw their Savior die. The last scene where they saw his body, they may have seen how Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had taken his body down and placed it into a borrowed tomb. They were there. They witnessed the agony. And even though they had heard the good news of the resurrection, even though they had eyewitness accounts that showed them and confirmed to them that the tomb was empty. That an angelic host of heavenly emissaries had a message to all that he was not dead, that the Savior indeed was living. The text says that these disciples were in a disposition of sadness. Isn't it interesting that we can experience life, we can see the works of God, and still at times and places in life, even close to Easter Sunday morning, can still move from celebration to agony and depression. I'm in the text for these two disciples. There they were. Now, they're two disciples, true, but they were not numbered among the 11 that were left, minus Judas, who initially made the 12. No, these were two unnamed disciples. They were not the apostles. They were no less disciples who followed Christ. But interesting enough, as it is in the text, they're followers of Christ, but what's weighing heavily on their minds is what they saw happen at the crucifixion, and now they're on their way back home to unknown city. They're on their way, journeying there, and they're in conversation with one another about the very thing, Barry, that they had witnessed. But unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be any joy left. There's no hope left within them. Something happened that they are fixated and focused on the pain that they're unable to see the reason for celebration. Can I sit by you for a moment? Can we be Ron Scudo? Let me sit by you for a moment. We've been there, haven't we? Well, on one hand, we're celebrating the reality of Christ Jesus. We're celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection. On Sunday, we're celebrating the hope of the resurrection. But then things happen in life that gets us despondent and discouraged and sometimes derailed, that we're so hyper-focused on the negatives that have happened that we fail to see all the things that God has yet to do. I want to challenge you, brothers and sisters, as we consider the narrative of this text, is to know within our hearts that Jesus is alive. And because he lives, we can experience him living every day of our lives. That no matter what's happening in our circumstances, what's around us, what may even seem to be tragic in our experiences, we can rest in the testimony that we serve a living Savior. They told me this was an art campus. They told me this was where people celebrated. This is a Baptist church, isn't it? I'm just checking. Maybe you didn't hear me. I know sometimes I don't speak loudly enough in order for you to hear me. But I want to say it just one more time because it makes me feel good to my soul. We serve a living Savior. And he's a living Savior who's available for us to experience not just one Sunday in the calendar year, but he's a living Savior who's available for us to experience him each and every day of our lives. And the disciples of the text find this out because notice, they don't have rank. They are not the ranking disciples, but what they do have is crucial for all of us to understand. They have relationship. They were following Christ, and because they were following Christ, I love the fact that in the Emmaus experience, Christ didn't leave them in a situation that he found them. Let me back up just for a moment. They're walking, they're sad, but look at how Christ intersects their walking on their way home. He intersects their pathway because Christ will never leave his followers in a disposition of sadness when he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I love this. He will meet you where you are. Do you see that? They're on the road. They're going home. They sad, but the text says that Jesus met them. Oh, that's good news right there. Because if we're going to continue to celebrate the joy of the resurrection, if we're going to continue in our lives to celebrate all there is to celebrate in living and having the living Savior within our hearts, we must maintain a few things. And what we learn from the disciples in the text, firstly, is that they maintain an openness for a divine interaction. Here they are. They're in conversation with one another about a seemingly lost hope. And when Christ appears, though they do not recognize him, they do not reject him. Though they are not aware that this is Christ, this is God's doing, notice they did not push away from the interaction, that they invited him into the conversation. And that begs a question for all of us to consider. Can Jesus interrupt your agenda? Are we open to divine interactions where God can come and adjust the agendas of our lives in such a way that we will know that this is a God thing? Have you ever been there before? Well, here you had a plan for your life. You knew what you were going to do on that particular day, but something happens in the midst of that day, and when you look back, you can only say, that's only God. Have you ever had an only God moment? Let me check some real people there. Have you ever been there before where here it was, you knew you were going to leave at a certain time and you were on your way to your destination, but something delayed you, and then you did the calculations and realized that had it not been that for that delay, you could have been involved in an accident you passed up on the way, and you looked back and you said, that must be a God moment. Have you ever been there before where God was able to intersect your life, that when you thought that you were going about your day and you may have been heavy and despondent, similar to the disciples in our text, and there was a stranger that happened to come by on your aisle, on your day, on this particular day, just past the Sunday experience, and you're saddened and you're burdened down, but it came with just the right word at the right time, and you were open for that interaction? Have you ever been there before where God, he intersected your life in such a way that when you look back, you think back over your life, you can say that was only God who did that? Anybody ever had that experience? Let me have you pause just for a moment. Close your eyes just for a moment if you don't mind. Close your eyes, close your eyes, close your eyes. Don't go to sleep, though. But close your eyes. I want you to think. Think back. Think back of all the times in your life where you may have felt similar to the disciples in the text, where they're saddened about what they have experienced. Have you gotten there yet? And now fast forward to now and see how it was God who carried you over when you were open for his interactions in your life. Listen to me. God is living and God is still at work. Christ Jesus is still working in our lives. And when we think back over our lives and realize all that he has done, you can live in resurrection power. Anytime you find yourself down and in despair, you can be like the psalmist and question yourself, why? Why is my soul downcast? Why am I so heavy laden? Let me get my hope back into the Lord, because he is my salvation. Grandma said it this way: if you look back over your life and think about all that God has brought you through, when somebody asks you, how did you make it? You can look and tell them it's because of God's grace and God's mercy that I was open for him to interact and intercede in my life. Now, some of you still got your eyes closed. You need to nudge them, wake them up. Tell them, wake them up, wake them up, wake them up. Because these disciples are met by Jesus. And if we're going to live continually, daily, rejoicing in the power of the resurrection, we should be open to divine interactions in our lives. But secondly, we should have a willingness. Yeah, we should maintain a willingness to share our own heart contemplations. Now, keep following the text as we read it. For not only are they despondent and sad, when Jesus asks that pivotal question, what are you in conversation about? Notice their openness. They began to share with this, for them at this point, this unknown stranger, they began to share with him all that was bothering them, all that was heavy on their hearts. They began to share with him all that they had experienced. And as they're sharing, they're pouring out to him, to Christ, that they thought that Jesus of Nazareth was going to be the hope of their redemption, that he was going to come and save Israel. Although they did not realize that Jesus Christ didn't just come to be the hope for Israel, he came to be the hope for all the world, they still were willing to share their hearts with him. See, God is sovereign. Do you know God is sovereign? That means God is always in control. that no matter what seemingly is out of control, God is always in control. And for those who trust God and believe in God, we have the assurance of his word that says that he orders our steps. You remember, it says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If you read Proverbs 3:5, it says, if you trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, Shannon, with all your ways acknowledge him. It says he will direct our pathway, which then means that God is in control of all of our interactions. And when we are in a conversation with him and his children, we should be willing to open up, because sometimes God coordinates individuals to intersect our lives that he might share with us through their lives. That's why we ought not be so closed in the church. That's why we ought to be open every now and then to share with each other what we are going through. These disciples are sharing with what is perceived to them as a stranger. We know it's Christ Jesus, but notice how they are sharing openly. When was the last time you shared your heart with a fellow believer? Because sometimes God will position our lives in such a way that we'll be intersecting with other believers, and they might be overcomers of the very situation we're trying to overcome. Sometimes God would allow our lives to intersect, but we have to be willing to be open with individuals to share with them all that we are going through. But not only should we maintain a willingness to share our heart's contemplation, thirdly, if we're going to live in the power of the resurrection, if we're going to live every day rejoicing in our living Savior, brothers and sisters, let's look again at the text. Because we have to maintain an openness to receive scriptural revelation. Notice the text. For after they shared with Jesus that they knew, had heard of the resurrection, they knew of the crucifixion, had heard of the resurrection in verse 24, look at verse 25. And Jesus says to them, Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe. Everything that was written, paraphrasing, he said, was written about me. But Carrie, this is where I get at the text. Look at the text. It says in verse 27, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets. Hold on now, because this is a 7-mile journey. I want you to catch this. This isn't just a 20-minute dialogue. He started with Genesis. The preacher started with Genesis and preached all the way up to, I'm in the Bible, preached all the way up to Jesus Christ, and they stayed in the service. That's a word for somebody right here. They were there. He preached to them and told them how all of it was concerning himself. You see it there? And sometimes we get tired just reading the Bible for a few minutes. I'm only looking at friends right now. I can't look at other folks. I gotta look at friends when I say stuff like that. But here, they had an openness. They had an openness to receive scriptural revelation, that as Christ spoke to them, they were open to hear and understand that he, the scripture, the prophecies spoke to the truth of who he is, that he is the living God. Which tells us, brothers and sisters, that if we're gonna live every day in the hope of the resurrection, if we're going to live every day in the power of the resurrection, there's some things we must do daily as it relates to the word of God. You do understand there's some things we do every day. Okay, some of you don't understand. Let me see it. How many of you looked in the mirror today? Raise your hands. Three people. Okay, there it is. There's some things we do every day. Let's be honest. We look in the mirror every day. I mean, don't get me wrong, Lewis. I know you're a dapper man. You know, you're young at heart, and you're a little, you're still a little older than me. But anyway, you're young at heart. I mean, you're dapper man. But I know that we look in the mirror each and every day. These are some things we do every day. How many in this new school generation, we have smartphones and emails and all kinds of ways to be messaged and messengers. We check our messages every day. But what the text is telling to teach us is that in all the things we do every day, as we check in the mirror, we ought to check into God's word. For in God's word, there's a revelation for us each and every day of our lives, that when you wake up, you ought to wake up with the word of God in your face as you're studying the word of God. As before you go to bed at night, with all that you go through in this life, you ought to check out the word of God, because in the word of God is a narrative of the power of God. Within the word of God, we seek the presence of God. In his word, we have the promises of God. I got some Bible readers in here, don't I? All right, here it is. You know his promises, don't you? Weeping may endure but a night, but joy comes. That's why you got to get in the Word of God. You know the Word of God, don't you? Great is He that's in me than he that's in the world. You know the promises that's in the Word of God. I can do all things. Somebody say all things. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The revelation of God is in the Word of God. And notice these two disciples, they maintained an openness, a willingness to hear the Word of God. And through the Word, it was revealed to them that all points to the Word incarnate, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. That the promises of the prophecies said that he would die, but that he would live. And there's a world that needs to know that we serve a risen Savior who lives in the world today. And when we engage the Word and maintain a willingness to hear God's Word and His revelation, we'll begin to live in the power of the resurrection. That no matter what happens in life, we always can rejoice that it's not the end of the story, that God is still at work, and that if our Redeemer was able to overcome death, hell, and the grave, then being His children, that's nothing we cannot overcome. Somebody ought to say amen on that thing right there. That there's nothing that we can't overcome, no tragedy that we can't face, but we have to maintain. Get this. We have to maintain an openness to stay in the Word of God. Thirdly, brothers and sisters, something changes in their conversation. For in these believers' conversations, as Christ began to speak with them and they're spending time with Him, pick up at verse 28. It says, so they drew near to the village to which they were going. Jesus acted as though He was going to go further, but they urged Him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it's toward the evening. Look at their desire for the Word. Look at their desire to discuss the Word of God. For the day is now far spent. So Jesus stayed with them. And when He was at the table with them, He took bread, and He blessed it, and He broke it, and He gave it to them. And at that point, in a divine fellowship with God and God's Word, their eyes were open. The text says they recognized Him intimately. They knew Him, and it changed that conversation. Come here, brothers and sisters. I'm going to work on our way home. It changes that conversation because they were in communion with God. And anytime you evaluate how you've been speaking and how you've been talking, you ought to check to see if your conversation is matching your communion. I can work here for a moment. Because if we commune with the wrong things, then our conversation will always reflect the wrong things. But Christ is calling us that if we celebrate the resurrection, that we also must maintain a willingness to cultivate Christ-centered conversation. But when we met these two disciples, they were on the road, they were despondent, and they were in despair. But now as we see them after they have been engaged with Christ and His Word, the revelation of Christ, their conversation has changed into a chorus of celebration. For here it is, they've been walking 7 miles to get to Emmaus. But if you keep reading the story, the text says, as Jesus vanished from their sight, it says, they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within when we celebrated and worshiped Christ? And check the text. It says, then after they said their hearts burned within as the scripture was opened to them, verse 33 says something interesting. It says, they rose and they went immediately 7 more miles back to Jerusalem to tell others about what the scripture, what Christ had revealed to them, that He was risen, that He was alive indeed. Because when we connect with Christ, maintain our relationship with Christ, grow in Christ, there ought to be a different conversation that happens with the believers. We ought to live our lives as though we are living with a risen Savior. You ought to walk in our lives as though we know He is our risen Savior. That's what Alfred Eckrich did. You might not know Alfred Eckrich, but you would know his story. This Presbyterian minister back in 1940, as he was both a pastor and a composer, he ran into a Jewish young man, a student at one of his evangelistic meetings, and this Jewish student said to him, why should I believe in a dead Jew? To which Alfred looked at that Jewish student and began to expound to him in Christ-centered conversation what it meant to know that Jesus Christ, He did die, but He lives evermore. This Jewish student began to transform his life to see the reality of truth in the scripture. Alfred was so moved by his interaction with this young man that he wrote this hymn that we still sing today. He said, I serve a risen Savior. He lives in the world today. I know that He is living whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just when I need Him, He is always near. Some of you know it. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me and he shares with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives. And I'm so glad. You know what? I know he lives. Why? Because he lives within. Oh, you know it. Within my heart. And brothers and sisters, as Christ lives in your heart, he lives for you to go out and live a life in the power of the resurrection. So don't give up along the way. Just maintain. Maintain an openness for divine interactions. Maintain a willingness to share your heart contemplations with the Lord. Maintain an openness for scriptural revelation. And maintain a willingness to have Christ-centered conversation. And resurrection joy and power will be yours from this life until everlasting.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.